Yeah, I get about 200 books delivered every week to my front porch. We have a row house in D.C., and the UPS guy and the postal carrier, they really love me because they're always lugging these books to the porch.
I always wonder how on earth you read all you do and manage to stay passionate about it.
Yeah, well, it's really not hard to be passionate when you get an Alice McDermott or a Richard Ford, you know, delivered to your doorstep. I shouldn't say this, but sometimes I feel like, wow, they're paying me to do this.
Your first book, Someone, by Alice McDermott, has been described as a book about an ordinary woman in which nothing extraordinary happens.
Doesn't that just make everyone want to run out and buy it? I know. Poor Alice McDermott. She's a poet in the sense that she can pack so much into a sentence. She can summon up a whole lost world of World War II New York through the 1970s and 80s in just a few short chapters. So you get a lot of scenes of, kids playing stickball and the neighbors sitting out on their stoops and gossiping and commenting on people. And her heroine eventually lands a job as basically a greeter in the neighborhood funeral parlor. McDermott has this passage where she describes her heroine being told by her boss that she can go to the local department store and select 3 good wool dresses that he'll pay for this job. She's so thrilled with this idea. That lets you know so much about our main character and about her world and about the social class that she comes from. It is that kind of book that you can reread and enjoy and say, oh, I didn't catch that the first time. And, you know, really appreciate those, small touches that McDermott gives us.
The second book you chose is a fictionalization of events surrounding the trial of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, the two Americans executed for Soviet espionage in 1953. This is The Book of Daniel by E.L. Doctorow.
Yeah, I think hands down this is his best novel. What Doctorow does is that he imagines the Rosenbergs had a son and a daughter. And of course, in real life, they had 2 sons. And we see events through the son's eyes, this character who he calls Daniel. You know, we're taken into the house where the Rosenbergs lived in the Bronx, and we see them having meetings with fellow Communist Party members, because the Rosenbergs, in part, are described in this novel as people who want to make America live up to its ideals, and they see the Communist Party as being the political vehicle for that. But then we also are with Daniel in basically the orphanage that he and his sister are put in after their parents' execution, because nobody wants to take them in. People are afraid, this is the McCarthy period, of being too closely connected with people like the Rosenbergs. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this is based on truth. The 2 Rosenberg sons for a while were in a children's home in the Bronx because none of their relatives would take them in. It's not a novel that makes a special case for the Rosenbergs, but it's a novel that really prompts people to want to find out more.
Your third book also takes place in New York City and takes us further back in time to 1949 with a book-length love letter to the city. So tell us about E.B. White's Here's New York.
I'm sure many people know E.B. White from Charlotte's Web and Stuart Little, those amazing children's books that he wrote. What happened was, after World War II, his stepson, Roger Angel, asked E.B. White to contribute an essay to a travel magazine. And E.B. White wrote this very long essay that became a book called Here Is New York. It's about E.B. White going back to New York after World War II and walking the streets that he first knew as a very young man. But in a relatively short book, he really captures some of the moods of New York, the way light looks, you know, on these dusty sort of skyscrapery streets on a Sunday afternoon. He says, New York, you know, will leave you alone if that's what you want. And you can be alone in the midst of all this hustle and bustle. But boy, when he falls in love with certain scenes about New York, the restaurants, the fights, the movie palaces that still existed in 1949, I don't think anybody beats E.B. White for describing those places and everything that goes along with them.